Chapter 11. Become imitators of me, even as I am of Christ. Now I commend you, because in all things you have me in mind, and you are holding fast the traditions just as I handed them on to you. But I want you to know that the head of every man is the Christ. In turn, the head of a woman is the man. In turn, the head of the Christ is God. Every man that prays or prophesies, having something on his head, shames his head. But every woman that prays or prophesies, with her head uncovered, shames her head. For it is one and the same as if she were a woman with a shaved head. For if a woman does not cover herself, let her also be shorn. But if it is disgraceful for a woman to be shorn or shaved, let her be covered. For a man ought not to have his head covered, as he is God's image in glory, but the woman is man's glory. For man is not out of woman, but woman out of man. And, what is more, man was not created for the sake of the woman, but woman for the sake of the man. That is why the woman ought to have a sign of authority upon her head, because of the angels. Besides, in connection with the Lord, neither is woman without man nor man without woman. For just as the woman is out of the man, so also the man is through the woman. But all things are out of God. Judge for your own selves. Is it fitting for a woman to pray uncovered to God? Does not nature itself teach you that if a man has long hair, it is a dishonor to him? But if a woman has long hair, it is a glory to her? Because her hair is given her instead of a headdress. However, if any man seems to dispute for some other custom, we have no other, neither do the congregations of God. But while giving these instructions, I do not commend you because it is not for the better, but for the worse that you meet together. For first of all, when you come together in a congregation, I hear divisions exist among you, and in some measure, I believe it. For there must also be sects among you, that the persons approved may also become manifest among you. Therefore, when you come together to one place, it is not possible to eat the Lord's evening meal. For when you eat it, each one takes his own evening meal beforehand, so that one is hungry, but another is intoxicated. Certainly, you do have houses for eating and drinking, do you not? Or do you despise the congregation of God and make those who have nothing ashamed? What shall I say to you? Shall I commend you? In this I do not commend you. For I received from the Lord that which I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was going to be handed over, took a loaf and, after giving thanks, he broke it and said, "This means my body, which is in your behalf. Keep doing this in remembrance of me." He did likewise respecting the cup also, after he had the evening meal, saying, "This cup means the new covenant by virtue of my blood. Keep doing this, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this loaf and drink this cup, you keep proclaiming the death of the Lord until he arrives. Consequently, whoever eats the loaf or drinks the cup of the Lord unworthily will be guilty respecting the body and the blood of the Lord. First let a man approve himself after scrutiny, and thus let him eat of the loaf and drink of the cup. For he that eats and drinks judgment against himself, if he does not discern the body. That is why many among you are weak and sickly, and quite a few are sleeping in death. But if we would discern what we ourselves are, we would not be judged. However, when we are judged, we are disciplined by Jehovah, that we may not become condemned with the world. Consequently, my brothers, when you come together to eat it, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, that you may not come together for judgment. But the remaining matters I will set in order when I get there."